Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to Through the Bible, where we go from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order, the way it was actually written. So we're in Deuteronomy, and it's been really fascinating. We're learning some great stuff. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1. Since you are the people of the Lord your God, never cut yourselves or shave the hair above your foreheads in mourning for the dead. You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. You must not eat any detestable animals that are ceremonially unclean. These are the animals that you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the addax, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat anything that is completely split hooves and chews the cud. But if the animal does not have both, it is not to be eaten. You may not eat the camel or the hare or the hyrax. They chew the cud, but they do not have split hooves. So they are ceremonially unclean for you. You may not eat the pig. It has split hooves, but does not chew the cud. So it is ceremonially unclean for you. You may not eat the meat that these animals are even touch their carcasses. Now, you know, I'm a New Testament guy, so I grew up in the country. I'm in country, in East Tennessee. And we had hogs. Didn't have any cows. Well, we had a few milk cows, but we didn't eat them. So what we ate most was pork. We had pork chops, tenderloin, bacon, sausage. If it came from that pig, we ate it. Pickled pig's feet. And so I remember growing up in church, you'd read about, you can't eat the pig. Well, I thought we all ate pig. That's all we had to eat. And so you go to the New Testament, Peter, and watch this big sheep come down with all of these animals. And the Lord's speaking to Peter. And he sees this big sheep full of all the animals there coming down to him. And God says to him, kill and eat, Peter, kill and eat. Peter argued, well, no, there's some ceremony clean. No, everything God made is clean, kill and eat. So things have changed. So I used to joke with people, so I think we get to heaven, there'll probably be some pork chops on the table. I don't know. I just some thought. Verse 9, of all the marine animals you may eat, whatever has both fins and scales. You may not, however, eat marine animals that do not have both fins and scales. They are ceremonially unclean to you. You may eat the bird. You may not eat the bird. Or you may eat any bird that is ceremonially clean. These are the birds you may not eat: the vulture, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon, buzzards of all kinds, ravens of all kinds, the eagle, the owl, the short-eared owl, the seagull, hawks of all kinds, the little owl, the great owl, the barn owl, the desert owl, the Egyptian vulture, the stork, herons of all kinds, and the bat. All winged insects that walk along the ground are ceremonially unclean for you also. You may not be, or they're not to be eaten, but you may eat any winged bird, insect. They're ceremonially clean. You must not eat anything that has died a natural death. You may give it to a foreigner living in your town, or you may sell it to a stranger. But you're not to eat it for yourselves. You are separate as holy to the Lord your God. You must not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. So we took time. I was a school administrator for 10 years. And I'd have the seniors, we'd have a through the Bible class once a day. And I'd go through these scriptures that seemed to be controversial. And what does that mean? Why did he do that? Well, God was trying to have a people set apart from himself, a special people. They were known for what they did or what they didn't do, how they dressed, how they didn't dress, that they honored the Sabbath for 24 hours every week. And so God wanted to have a people set apart for himself. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was split top to bottom. The Ark of the Covenant had been behind that veil. It was a secret place. Well, there's no more veil, no more Ark. God's not living in a box anymore. God lives in us. God lives in our hearts. He goes where we go. Where I walk, God walks. When I talk, God talks. It's a different world. It's a better covenant, made with better promises. It didn't do away with the old. It didn't mean the old was bad. We just have a better one. You ever had an old car and you got a better car? got great memories of the old car, but you have a better car. Well, we have a better covenant. So this is where it gets kind of interesting. God sort of switches from what kind of animals you can eat and not eat, and he goes into the tithe. Fascinating. Verse 22, you must set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, newborn, firstborn calves of your flocks, herds. Doing this will teach you to always fear the Lord your God. What's the purpose of the tithe? Well, it's real simple right here, the first mention of it. What's the purpose of the tithe? To teach you to fear the Lord your God. Everything you get comes from God. Your next breath comes from God. Your next heartbeat comes from God. It's all God. And so what are you doing when you're bringing a tenth of everything the earth produces? You're honoring God. You're acknowledging, God, I couldn't have this unless I had you. I wouldn't have this crop if I didn't have you. I wouldn't have these sheep if I didn't have you. I wouldn't have these cattle if I didn't have you. It's honoring God. Verse 24, now when the Lord your God blesses you with a good harvest, the place of worship he chooses for his name to be honored might be too far for you to bring their tithe. If so, you may sell the tithe portion of your crops and herds, put the money in a pouch, go to the place the Lord your God has chosen. When you arrive, you may use the money to buy any kind of food you want, cattle, sheep, goats, wine, or other drink. Then feast there in the presence of the Lord your God and celebrate with your household. And do not neglect the Levites of your town, for they will receive no allotment of land among you. At the end of every third year, bring the entire tithe of that year's harvest, and store it in the nearest town. Give it to the Levites who will receive no allotment of land among you, as well as to the foreigners living among you, or the orphans or the widows in your towns, so they can eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. What God's saying, I'm going to bless you in all your work. Well, that's what I had a problem set up. It said, this is long before there was a goodwill or, unemployment office. God had things set up to take care of the people, the widows, the unemployed, the injured, the kids, the lame. He had it set up so society would take care of itself. And it was a great, great system. We sort of lost it over the decades. Here we are in chapter 15, verse 1. This is talking about the release of the debtors. At the end of every seventh year, you must cancel the debts of everyone who owes you money. Well, that would mess some people up today. Every seventh year, you cancel all debts. If you owed me money, you don't owe me money anymore. If I owed you money, I don't owe you money anymore. Every seventh year, everybody went debt-free. You got to start all over again. Oh, that's so good. This is how it must be done. Everyone must cancel the loans that they have made to their fellow Israelites. They must not demand payment from their neighbors or relatives, for the Lord's time of release has arrived. This release from debt, however, applies only to your fellow Israelites, not to foreigners living among you. There should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he is giving you as a special possession. You receive this blessing if you are careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. You will lend money to many nations. You will never need to borrow. You'll rule many nations, but you'll never be ruled over. But if there's any poor Israelite in your town when you arrive in the land the Lord God has given you, you must not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous. Lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited or refuse somebody a loan because of your for canceling debts is close at hand. If you refuse to make a loan to the needy person and he cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly. The Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. There will always be some in the land who are poor. The poor you'll have with you always. Why? Well, there's a curse. It's on the lands, on the people. If you've not been redeemed from the curse, you're still under the curse, which is poverty, sickness, and death. Well, even if you had been redeemed the curse, you still have to resist the devil. There is an enemy who steals, kills, destroys, John 10:10. That's what the devil does. And so he is currently temporary, little g, god of this earth. He's over everything. That's why there's wars and famines and sickness and disease. The hospitals are full and prisons are full. But he's told us how to live, what's the right word, successfully here on the alien planet. We are the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. So there'll always be some in the land who are poor. This is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites who are in need. Well, that's a really good two chapters right there. They're going into the promised land. They've been slaves in Egypt for 100 years. They've been delivered. We've gone through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army's been drowned. And so what are we doing? We're trying to establish a way you live now. You've never lived right. You've lived as a slave for 400 years. Now we're going to teach you how to live with your fellow man, live with God, live among your people. You're different. You're a different nation. God set you aside so the world would ask you about the hope that's in you. You would say, it's God. It is God. It's all God. Why are you blessed, God? Why are you healthy, God? You know, why you seem to be prosperous, God? Why do you have good weather over your farm, God? You know, why do your cattle seem to do so well? Your sheep do so well, God? It's all God. He wanted that. That's why he did it. He wanted the world to look at them and ask about the hope that's in them. So as we live today, you know, I always pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and you shall prosper. So I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God bless them. Give them wisdom. You bring your people home after 2,000 years of being scattered to the four corners of the earth. 1948, Israel became a nation. So it started a whole new world. So we're coming up to the end of the Gentile age, as we would call it. And this age is about to end, and we got seven more years of Jewish history about to kick in. And then that'll be after the rapture of the church. And so we're living one of the most exciting times of human history. It's a great day to be alive. It is a great day to be married. It's a great day to have kids, great day to start a business. It's just a great day, people. We live in the greatest day of human history when God's spirit is poured out without measure. Our sons and daughters are going to prophesy. We're going to dream dreams and have visions. We live in the greatest day of history. So let's learn to enjoy it, not to gripe, not to complain, not to point our finger at other people and accuse people. No, we're supposed to be the light and the salt of the planet. Let's start doing that. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.